Hello. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'm in the middle now of a renovation, and that restricts the time that I can do the podcast. And so I'm just sharing this very short intermission again, similar to last week, except this week is a little bit even more unique because today was my mom's birthday, April 4th, and she would be 89 had she lived to this point. And so I've gotten a lot of comments and emails about her and how much you liked the stories about my mom. And I thought I'd share just a couple of things on her birthday and end with how you can also help memorialize her wonderful life with animal husbandry. So I'm going to do it a little bit like an interview, as if someone was interviewing me. And I want to start with sharing three short stories that I remember and were in the podcast, but I wanted to share them again with you. The first was we went a trip to the grocery store when we were really little, and with all the children that we had in the family, we bought a lot of food and only went to the primary grocery store, which was in Malone, New York, about once a month. And so I think at the time on this particular visit, we had two carts of groceries for our family. And the lady said, "Oh, that's a lot of groceries. Is this for a month?" And my mom said, "No, it's just for a week." And of course, that got a chuckle as well as a little bit of surprise from the cashier. My mother liked to joke a lot. And I think in some ways, as all of you know, I'm really super funny. I probably got that from her. Oh, of course, there are so many stories about the farm because we were not farmers. And when we moved there, we had no real equipment. And I remember so much all of the stories, whether it's pulling hay on that big Genesee beer sign or riding the tractor with us kids walking behind, kicking the hay until we learned what a swath board was that automatically pulled it in so it didn't get caught up the next time around. Or the hay wagon that mom painted the wheels lavender, which was my grandfather's favorite color. But one of the ones that I want to share is this visit that I made as a surprise. Because when I left home, when I first started going back home, I was treated like a guest. And my mom would schedule all these things to do when I got there. And all I really wanted to do was just visit my family. So one time when I was stationed at Langley, I drove from Langley up to New York, which is quite a long drive. And I remember that Dad was apparently in the living room or dining room and said, "Oh, Tom is here." And it wasn't scheduled. And my mom said, "He's not coming." And he said, "Well, it's a silver Accord," which was the kind of, a gold Accord, which was what I had, and a bit unique. And so I drove up and Dad and the kids all came out and greeted me. And Mom stayed in the kitchen. And I walked in and I said, "Hello." And my mom turned around and said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I want to make a surprise because I didn't want you to keep scheduling all these special events when I came home." And that did it. She never scheduled anything special again, which was great because that wasn't the purpose of me going up there to visit. You already know many of the stories about how Mom was actively involved in the church and how we were members of the, I can't remember the name of the group now, for young children in the Wesleyan church. She was always the one to be called on, though, because of her creative and artistic ability to make scenes for the various skits at Christmas and Easter and so forth. And we would often stay late to help so that she could do those arrangements for the church. And while I know this is a bit disjointed because it is being done without a script, which all the podcasts are on script, the last one I want to tell you is a story about my hair. Now, when I was a little boy, I always had a crew cut. And I don't know why I had a crew cut. And my brothers all had regular hair length for children. And one time I said to my mom, "How come I got a crew cut and all everyone else has, you know, longer hair?" And she said, "Well, it's because when your hair grows out, it grows straight out And so it'll look really funny if you didn't have a crew cut. And I believed her, so I always had a crew cut. And when I went into basic training, they, of course, cut your hair even closer. And then it started growing back out. And surprisingly, my hair didn't grow straight out. It grew as any normal person's hair grows. And I went home that first time was around Christmas. It was, in fact, Christmas Eve from the story that I shared earlier. And my mom looked at me and she said, "Oh, you're letting your hair grow." I said, "Yes." And surprise, it doesn't grow straight out. And I don't remember her facial response, but I would guess that it would be, ooh, one of those little white lies that you get caught from telling your children things like, if you eat too much candy, you'll lose your teeth, or if you swallow watermelon seeds, they'll grow inside your belly. By the way, I've swallowed watermelon seeds, and also there has been no watermelons growing in my belly. Well, the last thing I'm going to share, of course, is that my mom was actively involved in the Cooperative Extension, which is the county's program that runs 4-H and FFA and so forth, and was highly respected because of all the work that she did with the dairy goat industry and her research with heredity and genetics and so forth. And as you remember, the name of our farm was Ragochi Bend, R-A for rabbits, G-O for goats, and C-H-I for the chickens, all those chickens that I got for free. And we lived on the bend of the road when we lived in Ellenburg, New York. So Ragochi Bend was the farm name. And if you research it, you'll still find pedigree from Ragochi Bend all these many years later, because she passed in 1983 and the farm was sold shortly thereafter. For some time, I've been wanting to name a veterinary medicine endowment at an institution that I felt would best represent my mom's work in the dairy goat industry. And I haven't found one over all of these many years. This past year, however, I did. In Virginia, the Maryland and Virginia Consortium are the ones that manage the veterinary medicine educational program for veterinarians. This school, most of the work is done at Virginia Tech, which is in Southern Virginia, and some of the work is done at the University of Maryland, College Park, along with a huge research center. And so I've decided and have established the Barbara Holton Twilliger Endowed Fund for Veterinary Medicine at the University of Maryland. And that was signed earlier this year. And today I made the first payment toward that endowment. And I'm really excited. And as this organization does research from genetics to solving answers for disease and for all kinds of additional needs for veterinary medicine from domestic to non-domestic animals. In fact, they are the ones that created the COVID vaccine for dogs and are working on that new crisis in dogs across the United States. So you see, they are a highly respected research center at the University of Maryland, College Park. And I'm thrilled to be able to establish this endowment to keep my mom's memory alive and continue the work that I know that she would be really excited about. And the way that you can help is to also consider this philanthropic endeavor in your giving plans, if that's something that you're interested in. In this week's episode, there will be a link to that endowment, or you can go to the University of Maryland, College Park, and then just search for Terwilliger under the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. All of my philanthropic work has been done at institutions where I have some form of relationship or former relationship. And while I didn't teach at the University of Maryland College Park, I did teach at University of Maryland University College for many years. And so that was the connection for doing it there versus doing it at Virginia Tech. It's really been great throughout the podcast to share the stories. Of course, the podcast is about my life, and it wouldn't be complete without the woman who read an article in Reader's Digest about Harry Holt and what the work that he was doing from his words, "Bring my sons from afar," and that long journey when I was just 49 days old to the United States. And while there have been many situations of purple rain, the rainbow of coming to the United States and being able to live the American dream is something, perhaps the biggest gift that my mom gave me. And in some ways, it is my hope that this endowment named after her is just one way of paying that forward for all of us in the Terwilliger family. So happy birthday, Mom. We think of you all so very often and love you and hope that you do indeed rest in peace.